رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيدنا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا بالقاسم محمد صلى الله وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المنتجبين المنتخبين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من يوم عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه الكريم وقوله الحق وهو أصدق القائلين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. صلوات الرحمن. In the holy book of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, the only religion in the sight of Allah is Islam. Whenever we talk about Islam or we talk about religion, there are certain things which comes to our mind, such as whenever we talk about religion, the things which come to our mind is like, now we have to pray. It doesn't matter what religion we follow. A religious person, in our perspective, is a person who goes to mosque or a church or any other place where he has to pray. Because this is one thing which comes to our mind. A religion means that we have to follow certain things, we have to do certain activities to be considered as a religious person. On the other hand, being a religious person, we have to follow some rules and regulations. The moment the word about rules and regulations comes in our mind, we feel like now we are bound with some boundaries. Now we can't go out of this boundary and we can't do certain things because there are rules and regulations. So, my today's topic is about Islam, submission or freedom. Before we're talking about submission, I would like to speak about freedom first. When the word freedom comes to our mind, we feel and we think that now there is no rules and regulations. We are free, we can do whatever we want. We can say whatever we want, because we talk about freedom of speech, freedom of action, freedom of thinking. So whenever the word freedom comes into our mind, we think there are no boundaries to it. We can do whatever we want. But the thing is, freedom is, the word freedom is never used alone. There has to be something from which you are looking for the freedom. For example, a person who is arrested, who is in a jail, a freedom for him is getting out of jail. Freedom of speech, if you are not have the permission to speak somewhere, you're not allowed to speak somewhere, the freedom of speech gives you the freedom to speak. Freedom itself doesn't mean anything. Freedom is, you are free to do whatever you want. You are free, but from what? We have to understand the freedom from what we are looking for. Whenever you say we need freedom, the first question which comes to our mind is from what? For example, before I give you the example, whenever we say freedom, it always doesn't mean that we are free to do whatever we want. Like last month, there was an Independence Day celebrated in the country. Now we are living in a free country for over 7 decades. What does that mean? So now we can do whatever we want. We can break signals. We can go into anyone's house because we're living in a free country. We can do whatever we want. We can take anyone's property. We can break anyone's glass. We can burn anyone's, car or something. Why not? Aren't we free? We are free. But the thing is, we are free from one thing, but we are bound to the rules and regulations. Freedom doesn't mean that you get into someone else's property without getting the permission from him. You can't enter anyone's house. You can't take anyone's car or a bike. You can't take anyone's book without the permission. That means even though you are free, you are not free to do anything you want. To most of the people, when it comes to about religion, the first ayah, they say, like rahafiddin, why are you stopping me from doing this? The deen says there is no ikrah in it. You don't have to push someone to doing this. You don't have the right. Like rahafiddin, you can't force anybody to do something. It is la ikraha fiddin. It's the ayah Quran. We believe in it. But the thing is that the same way we are not allowed to break signals or walk into anybody's house without permission, even though we are living in a free country, the same thing it is with Islam. You are free to do whatever you want, but inside the boundaries of Islam. Inside the rules and regulations mentioned for Islam. Because if being a free person living in a country, we start doing all whatever we want, everything, without following any rules and regulations, without following anyone's lead, there will be a lot of problems in the country. Even in the house, you don't have to go out if you don't need anyone's permission for anything. Imagine, you can't even imagine such thing. Because the moment you start doing that, using someone else's property, using someone else's thing without any permission, without the permission of the owner, that same person, because he's also free, he can use your property. He can come to your house. He can use your vehicle. The same way, when it comes to Islam, when it comes to any religion, there is freedom. You are free to do a lot of things, but you have to take care of the rules and regulations. Because rules, if there is no rules, there is no law. The lawlessness can create a lot of problem in the community. You have to follow a law. The Islam gives you the best law to follow in your family, about yourself. If you want to follow rules and regulations as an individual, Islam has got a solution for you. As a family member, you have got a solution for you. If you are living in a community and looking for some sort of law, some sort of law, rules and regulations, Islam has got a solution for you. You have to follow those rules and regulations inside that boundary. If you are following, you're inside that boundary, you're free to do whatever you want. For example, if you bring a group of kids and you ask them I would like you to give you a room or a hall or a play area, you can do whatever you want. So what are we telling them? You are free to do whatever you want, but where? In that particular place only. You're not allowed to go outside that place. You're not allowed to come out from that room. You can play, you want to play, you can do whatever you want in that place. But you are not allowed to come out from there. Because if these children, imagine 15 or 20 of them, start running into your house, you'll have to call people from outside to help you to set this thing back. Because you won't be able to do it. Because you won't be able to recognize your house after half an hour. If you just leave the children and tell them you do whatever you want. It's the same way. We have to follow certain rules and regulations, but we are free to choose which one. There was this Sahabi, this companion, comes to our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam. He asked Imam, Yabna Rasulullah, are we free or are we not free? Have we to do certain things by force? How much we are free? Has Allah created us freely that we have a free will, or we have to do only those things which Allah has the ilm of it? Now, since Allah has all the ilm about it, now we have to follow Him. Imam says a very, very beautiful example. He said, stand on your one leg. He was standing on his one leg. And then Imam said, raise your second leg. The person says, I can't raise my second leg. I will fall. Imam says, this is the limit of freedom we have. In certain things we are free. We can raise our first leg whenever we want. But when we are asked to raise our second leg, we can't. In certain things, we have a complete freedom. But in certain other things, we have to follow the rules. Because if we won't follow the rules, we will fall. We might hurt us. With the simple example, Imam is trying to tell us, we have to follow certain things, and we can't do about certain things. We don't have any choice about certain things. Like, we are free to do the mustahabbat as much as we want. The recommended things, the recommended prayers and dua and supplications, you can do as much as you want. But you can't ignore your obligatory namaz, your obligatory actions and your obligatory fast in Ramadan. This is obligation on you. You have to follow these things. But if you want to follow the mustahabbat, you have got an option. You are free to do that. Whether you do this or you don't. This is the amount of freedom we have. But the thing is, whenever there is a word about submission, Because Islam itself means submission. The question arises, why do we even have to follow the deen? Why do we even have to follow the religion? The thing is, it's because we have been asked to pray to Allah. Why do we even need to pray? This prayer is not going to help Allah anyway. Whether we pray or we don't, He has got millions and millions of angels and malaika to pray for Him, to do tasbih. There is a verse in Quran where angels saying, why do you want to create these humankind? You don't have to create them. In the beginning of the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, it says, you don't have to create these people. They're going to create crime. They're going to commit crimes. They're going to kill each other. They're going to just fekud dima. You're going to shed blood. Why do you need these people? We are here. نَحْنُ نُقَدِّسُ. We're going to do tasbih for you. We're going to do taqdis for you. We're going to do tahleel for you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I know something which you don't know. Because whenever it comes to angels, they don't have any free will. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created aql, He asked the aql to move forward. The aql moved forward. And He asked the aql again to come back. The aql came back. And then He said, Tabarakalladhi, I am the greatest one who has created such a great creation. He was praising Himself that He has created such a creation, that He has given it a free will. That is why when a human being, when a person like me and you does something good, we can raise our level of iman above the angels, above malaika. But on the other hand, when we do and commit certain sins and commit certain crimes and do corruptions, when we go, we make ourselves worse than animals. Balhum adal, even worse than animals. So it is a free will which has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to these human beings, to the mankind, which makes it so great in His eyes. It is the free will which makes us what we are. It is this free will which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to tell these malaika, these angels, that look at them. I have created a human being, a kind of creation that is better when it comes to the field of actions. They can raise themselves above angels. That is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, He told all the angels to do sajda. Why did He do that? Because of the creation He created. Because of the free will He gave it to the humankind, to the mankind. We don't understand how much freedom we have. The problem is, we define freedom through the eyes of these worldly people. For example, I can't remember whether it was in a flight or somewhere on a TV. I saw an advertisement about the women empowerment. There was a very interesting thing which I noted, was to show the sign of women empowerment. There was this lady, an Indian lady. You see the Indian culture, that the ladies cover their head with the veil. Most of them, even those are not Muslims, those are Hindus or something else. What they do, they cover their faces with the veil. So when the advert was going on, all of a sudden when it says, we are here, we have empowered the women. So what she did next, she took off the veil, and all you see, she is standing there with a combed hair and a suit. The problem with us is, we are following a wrong definition of freedom. Is covering your head or covering your face with a veil, is that oppression? Are we trying to imply that the women living in the country before this women empowerment actually happened in the country, everyone was under some sort of oppression? The sign of freedom is taking off your veil, leaving your culture. Actually, the modern society is changing the definition of freedom. They are just limiting this freedom into the external look of a woman. If she looks modern, then she is free. How is she free? She's not free. This is a corporate world. This is a capitalism in the world. What actually the capitalism is doing is bringing out the half of the force sitting at home. It's a simple mathematics. If 50% of the whole population of this world are men and 50% are women, so by simple mathematics, if the only men are going out to work, that means the other 50% are sitting at home. They're not doing anything, they're just consuming what the 50% is working out and earning. So they are just a consumer, they're not producing anything. The capitalistic thinking is trying to bring this other 50% to make profit for themselves. They want to bring out the women from their house. They have got respect. They have got all the dignity. They have got all the freedom at home. But the thing is, the modern society, the modern thinking wants to use the other half of the society. They want to bring out the women from the home and bring in into the corporate world. They want to use it. Even in the most advanced countries, be it Europe, be it UK, be it America, be it Canada, wherever you'll go, you will always find that there is a gap between the salaries paid to men and women. I got a question. If you believe that women is equally able to do what men can do, then why there is a salary gap between them? If you think that women are equally strong as men are, then why they are only getting a job which is easier? That doesn't need a lot of effort, a lot of work, a lot of energy. They are mostly doing the desk jobs. Why? The thing is, because they know the desk job can be done by women. It's an easy job. We can bring out the force, the other 50% from the house and put them in the office and use them doing an easy work within the name of freedom, in the name of taking you out of oppression. You are the oppressed one. You are in some sort of jail. We are giving you freedom. We are bringing you out. They are not bringing you out. They don't have any sympathy for you. They don't have any heart, soft corner for you. They are using you. You're not getting even equal rights. Imagine if the women are sitting in home and they are taking off care of the other half. The society, the corruption in the society would be lesser. The moment you see, the more you see in the community where the women are working. I'm not against the women who are working. But until and unless you are not needed to do something, you should sit at home. You should take care of the children. That is what the seerah from the Ahl Bayt we see. When someone came, a lady came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she was complaining. She was complaining about
Ya Rasulullah, the greatest thing in Islam is jihad fi sabilillah. It has got enormous number of rewards, a huge number of sawab in it. Then why it is only limited for men? Why it is not wajib on women? What kind of religion do you have? What kind of rules and regulations does Islam have where there is no equality between men and women? So Rasulullah said, who said that there is no jihad for women? Who said there is the jihad only for men? She said that yes, the ahkam says that only men can go to the battlefield and fight over there with the sword and kill and do the jihad. Prophet said, there is jihad for every being. There is jihad for every person. For men, there is a jihad when they have to go out in the battlefield and fight. That is a jihad for them. But what is a jihad for women? Taking care of the family, sitting there at home and taking care of the children, taking care of the husband. That is a jihad for women. What a beautiful explanation Prophet Muhammad gave. Just let's bring it today, in today's world, and implement it in today's world. There is no war. There is no battlefield where we have to go and fight the men, where they have to go and fight with the enemy. There is no jihad. There is no battlefield. So the men are actually not getting the opportunity to become a mujahid in today's world. Because jihad needs two things. One is the presence of Imam, the presence of Masoom. And two, the permission from the Masoom. And we don't have both in today's time. So actually, it's men who are in a great loss since last 1200 years, who don't have a Masoom present in front of them to go to the battle. It's men who are not getting the opportunity to become a mujahid. But women, even today, by serving their husband, by taking care of the children, they can become a mujahida. They are still doing jihad at home. They are doing jihad on a daily basis. They are getting the reward of doing jihad. It's men who are actually losing. It's men actually who is not getting the point, who is not getting the opportunity to go into the jihad, go into the battlefield. For everyone else, for everyone, there are different rules. There are equality in the rules. But for everyone, there are different rules. Like what Quran says, you are all Muslims. We are equal in being Muslims. We follow the wilayat of Ali ibn Abi Talib. We are equal in being mu'min. But when it comes to rules and regulations, women follow different rules. Men follow different rules. And in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمُ اللَّهِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Whoever has got more taqwa, he is more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the parameter we have to look in ourselves. If we got more and more taqwa in us, we are more closer to that, to the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like if we suppose that we have to give equal rights according to the modern definition that men and women are equal, I can prove you they are not equal even by their standards. Very simple. They say that men and women are equal. And they blame Islam for enforcing like hijab. This it has been enforced on the ladies, on Muslimas, that they are oppressed sort of by the Muslim men, that they are not allowed to go out of the home, they're not allowed to work. They are allowed to go out of home with the permission of the husband. They are allowed to do work if this is needed. Even with the modern society, if we suppose that men and women are equal, But there are certain things you won't see women working like where the men are actually working. The way there is a work, actually man force is required. A lot of energy is required. A difficult job is always given to men. Or let me give you an even more tangible example. If men and women are equal, then why there is a women-only special compartment in the local trains? If you're traveling in a bus, it says women's only. Why? Let's be take it a bit further. If a woman gives a birth to a child, she gets leave from the office. Like she has given a birth, now she has to take care of the kid. So with the government, the office, whether it's a public sector or a private sector, they both give her a leave. And according to the law, any office, any entity is not allowed to kick her out during this break. I actually read that a few weeks ago in a bank. So there is a law keeping safe the women's right. But why a man is not getting the same leave? Why he doesn't have to take care of his kid? They'll ask him, now you have to take care of your kid, you have to come early. You have to work more because you have to work. You have to take care of your kid. You have to take care of your children. You have to work more and more. You have to stay here longer. Where is the equality in the modern society? They claim it to be the modern society where they are giving equal rights to each other. They're always calling Islam as being an oppressor of women. They're not giving them equal rights. If you look at the history of democracy in the world, before 1900, even the first 10 years, 1912 I guess, after 1912, I'm not sure about the year, after that year, which was in the early 1900s, the women didn't have the right to vote in America. They were not considered equal, they were not considered even a man. If you look at into the history, in the Roman history, the woman was considered as a commodity. There is a very interesting thing about it. There was a debate among the Greek philosophers regarding what the woman actually is. Is she a human or some sort of animal? This is a debate which was there in among the Greek philosophers. When Islam came and it banned, you can't bury your daughter. When Islam came, they gave respect to the women. When Islam came, it gave actually a share from the inheritance from the father to the women. And we are asked, like you are the oppressors. We have a history of 1,400 years of giving respect and giving rights to women. And we have been taught now, in today's world, they are teaching us to give respect, to give them their share, to give whatever they deserve. We have already been doing that. You just woke up 100 years ago. And now you're trying to implement what you recently got on us. So the freedom, what we believe in, is giving a dignity, giving respect to the woman, giving what she deserves. We have been giving that to her, but in certain boundaries. Because freedom, as I said, there is no freedom. The absolute freedom doesn't exist. There has to be a definition, a boundary to explain the freedom. Otherwise, there is no absolute freedom. Even though we are living in a country, as I said, we can't break rules. Are we not free? We are free. We are free men. We are living in a free country. But there are rules and regulations. We have to follow that. We believe the only freedom, we believe in the freedom which is given to us by Islam. We can do whatever we want. We have got the same freedom where we got in this country or in any other country. Everyone is living as a free. Nobody is a slave in this world. In today's world at least. So when we are free, still we have to follow some rules and regulations. Still we have to follow some guidelines. This is what the Sharia is. We are free to follow the rules. There is no absolute freedom. It doesn't exist. If this becomes a reality, an absolute freedom, we can't even imagine what the problem will be in the country, in the world. So much of chaos will be there. You don't know what is yours and what is yours, what is not yours. So much of problems. Anybody can come into your house, take your things and go away. You can't say anything to him. You can't stop him. Because it's free. We are free to do anything. So the freedom has to be limited. It has to have some sort of guidelines. If there will be an absolute freedom, you can do whatever you want, then there will be chaos, there will be problems in the world. So the freedom, it's not always what it looks like. We have to define the freedom with the opposites of it. We want freedom for what? A freedom for someone who is in a jail is getting out of the prison. Freedom for someone who can't speak, where he's under pressure not to speak. A freedom for him is he wants to express himself. It's freedom for him. If a person, for example, in a lot of countries in Europe now, they're banning hijab. And if a lady, a Muslimah, wants to have a hijab, wants to wear a hijab, she needs the freedom to wear hijab. So the freedom can be only explained from what you are actually looking freedom from. Otherwise there is no freedom. You can't explain freedom. You can only explain freedom with the opposite of it. There is no absolute freedom. In another hadith, it says that when you're looking for a freedom, you have to see that you are not, if you are, although you are free inside the jurisdiction of Islam, but you have to be very careful about you're not, by using this right of being free, you are not creating problem for others. You are free to do whatever you want, but you can't create problems for others. In a country we live, we got so many examples. We live in such a beautiful country that we are full of examples. Because of the diversity we see in the country, everywhere there is examples. Like in the month of Muharram, the government has given up the permission to go and take out the procession and to walk in the Julus. But do we have the freedom to just block the whole entire road? Or do we have the permission to just stay there as long as we want? There is a freedom, because if someone else wants to come out in the procession, they have got the permission too. But they have to take care of, they should not be doing certain things which could hurt another person or another community. We are free to express our emotions, our rites and rituals. But meanwhile, we are expressing these freedom which we have got, we have to take care of others too. Sometimes what happens, because our community is very emotional. We are too emotional when it comes to our practices. We are not even willing to hear a rational thing. It says, so what? It's now my turn. It's only once in a year. Although it's once in a year, it's 10 days in a year, or a month in a year, but you have to take care of the community. Because if everybody start doing that, it's once in a year, it's once a week in a year, then there will be a lot of problems. We have to set an example for everyone else. When we are walking in a procession, We should give way to others so that they could pass. Why? Because imagine if there is a procession on a road belonging to some other community, and you have to reach someone in a very urgent. You have to reach somewhere very urgently. And you are stuck in the traffic because of that procession. They're covering the whole road. There is an ambulance. He needs to get to the hospital. There's another person. He needs to get to the airport or a railway station or wherever. And the roads are covered. We have the freedom. They have the freedom. They have got all the rights. But they have to take care. When we go out on a road, we have got all the rights. We have got all the right and permission from the government to take the procession on the road. We have got the right to block the road. But still, we have to take care of the others. We should give way to them. Because when we are stuck in the traffic, we are not willing to listen to them, what they are saying. Maybe they are saying a good words. Maybe when we are doing a procession, we are sending the message of peace. We are sending a message of brotherhood. Where is the brotherhood? By actions, we are creating problems for others. And we are sending a message of brotherhood. We have to send the message of brotherhood by our actions. By just telling each other that yes, we are a religion of peace, we take care of others, we are a religion of brotherhood. Where is the brotherhood? You have to show. As the topic of the lecture says, that Islam is a religion of belief and action. We believe that there has to be a brotherhood. We believe there has to be peace among each other, harmony among us. But where is that? We have to show that peace and harmony with our actions. We have to give them way. If there is a zone where we can't use loudspeakers, we should put it down. We should give way to those who are stuck in their way. We have the permission, but we should take care of others too. Because as I said, if we are stuck in a traffic and they are giving us a message of peace, we are not willing to listen to it. Because I have to get to an office, somebody else has to get to an airport, somebody else has to get to the hospital. Even though you are giving the best of the advices, that person is not willing to listen because he has some other priority. But if you give them a chance, if you give them a space, when they will feel, yes, this is a community, they are doing with the permission. They are doing what they are allowed to do, but still they are taking care of others. Still they are worried about other people who are stuck in the traffic. So we have got the freedom, but freedom doesn't mean that you have this absolute freedom. There is no absolute freedom. There is no such thing which is called lawless. The lawlessness is not freedom, it's a chaos. There has to be a law and there has to be a will, a permission through which you can follow the law. There has to be certain things through which you could follow the law. The following the law with the right thing is actually the freedom. You have to follow the rules. Following the rules is freedom. You should know the rules. You should know your limits. You should know your Sharia. When you know the Sharia, you got a lot of things. You got a lot of opportunities where you know what is the limit. And like if you don't know the Sharia, the rules, the simple rules. Like you don't know when to pray. You have got all the time from Zuhr, from Zawal, to the sunset. But you don't know the rules when to start the prayer. The moment sun goes up and you think that, okay, it's now the Zuhr time and you start praying. You had the freedom to pray from Zuhr to the sunset. But you don't know that you're not still reached the time when the Zawal actually comes. And the time actually begins to pray.
So the prayer you prayed, it's not the prayer for the Zuhr and Asr, because the time hasn't come yet. You can't pray a prayer before the time. You have been asked to pray after the time comes. So knowing and having a lot of knowledge, it actually helps. If we know the rules and regulations, we won't be stuck anywhere. Now, I would like to recite some masayib. Like the Imam Hussein said to the army of Umar al-Sa'd, if you don't have a religion, if you don't follow a religion, at least be free men. That was the advice given to the army of Umar al-Sa'd by Imam Hussein. Please recite salawat. Hussain ibn Ali, jab Maidan-e-Karbala mein jang shuru hone se pehle ek aakhri martaba apne us wazife ko anjaam dene aaye ki shayad jiske baad tamam hujjatein tamam ho jati hain. کسی کو یہ کہنے کا موقع نہیں ملتا کہ اگر مجھ سے کہہ دیتے تو میں مولا کی طرف آ جاتا. مقتل لکھتا ہے کہ امام حسین نے جب تک کربلا میں قیام کیا کئی مرتبہ مولا عمر سعد کی فوج کے نزدیک گئے اور جانے کے بعد ان کو دعوت حق. بار بار جا کر اپنے آپ کو پہچانوایا, کیا میں رسول کا نواسا نہیں ہوں؟ کیا میں رسول کی بیٹی کا بیٹا نہیں ہوں؟ کیا تم مجھ کو نہیں پہچانتے؟ کیا میں امیر المومنین علی کا بیٹا نہیں ہوں؟ کیا تم مجھ کو نہیں پہچانتے؟ کیا میں دوش نبی کا سوار نہیں ہوں؟ کیا تم مجھ کو نہیں پہچانتے؟ کیا نبی نے یہ نہیں کہا تھا کہ میں جوانان جنت کا سردار ہوں؟ تم دنیا مانگتے ہو, میں تمہیں جنت دینے کو تیار ہوں. تم دنیا کی مال و دولت چاہتے ہو, میں آخرت میں تمہیں مالا مال کرنے کے لیے تیار ہوں. تم دنیا سنوارنا چاہتے ہو, میں تمہاری آخرت سنوارنا چاہتا ہوں. مولا دعوت دیتے جا رہے ہیں اور لوگ مولا کی دعوت کو ٹھکراتے جا رہے ہیں. اور جب صبح عاشور نمودار ہوئی, مولا ایک بار پھر گئے, مولا نے پھر اپنے الفاظ دہرائے, مولا نے پھر ان کو حق کی دعوت دی, لیکن اس بار کوئی سننے والا نہیں تھا. ایک آخری مرتبہ پھر ملتا ہے تاریخ میں کہ جب اصحاب شہید ہو گئے, جب علی اکبر مارے گئے, جب قاسم کا لاشا پامال ہو چکا, جب اون و محمد شہید ہو گئے, تو ایک بار پھر مولا نے ابو الفضل العباس کو بھیجا اور جا کر کہا کہ جاؤ کہہ دو کہ اگر ابھی بھی تم اپنے ان گناہوں سے دردست برداشتہ ہو جاؤ گے تو میں تمہیں معاف کر دوں گا. عزیزوں, ایک سوال ہے کہ اگر کوئی آدمی ہمارے اوپر کوئی ظلم کرے, ہمارے بچوں پر کوئی ظلم کرے, اس کے باوجود क्या हम इस बात के लिए आमादा होंगे कि जिसने हमारे ऊपर जुल्म किया है, हमारे बच्चों पर जुल्म किया है, हम उसे माफ कर दें, हम उसे बख्शिश दे दें? लेकिन ये मौला है, इतना करीम मौला है कि जाकर ये कह रहा है कि जाओ अब्बास उनसे कह दो कि अगर वो अभी भी अपने हरकतों से बाज आ जाएं, अपने गुनाहों से दस्तबरदाश्ता हो जाएं, तो मैं उन्हें माफ कर दूंगा। मैं कयामत के दिन भी, रवायत का फिक्रा है कि इमाम फरमाते हैं कि मैं कयामत के दिन भी कोई मुकदमा दायर नहीं करूंगा, मैं खुदा के ऊपर छोड़ दूंगा, जो उसका फैसला होगा वो मुझे मंजूर होगा, मैं अपनी जानिब से कोई शिकायत नहीं करूंगा। लेकिन जब उधर से जवाब मनफी में मिला, जब नवाब रद्द कर दिया गया, तो जनाब अब्बास मुस्कुराए, वापस अली इमाम हुसैन की खिदमत में आए। आने के बाद कहा, ए आका, मैंने आपका पैगाम पहुंचा दिया लेकिन कोई आमादा नहीं है, कोई तैयार नहीं है। कहा, भैया अब्बास, मैं चाहता था कि एक मर्तबा, आखिरी बार ये हुज्जत को तमाम कर दूं, मैं इमाम वक्त हूं, मैं कैसे ये बर्दाश्त कर सकता हूं कि कोई हिदायत पाना वाला हो और उसको हिदायत का मौका ना मिले, मैंने अपनी हुज्जत को तमाम कर दिया। ए आका, अब मुझे भी वो इजाजत दीजिए। जनाब अब्बास हैं कि मौला के सामने खड़े हैं, ए आका मुझे इजाजत दीजिए, मैं जाना चाहता हूं मक्तल में। इमाम हुसैन किस किस तरीके से जनाब अब्बास को रोकते आए हैं, मक्के में रोका, ए भैया अब्बास, ये मक्का है, ये करबला नहीं है, बाबा ने तुम्हें करबला के लिए मांगा है। वहां रोका, मदीने में रोका, मक्तल पे रोका, जगह जगह रोका। जब करबला पहुंच गए, खैमे को जब करबला पहुंचे और खयाम हटाने की बात आई, तो मौला ने फिर अपनी तलवार को नियाम से बाहर निकाल लिया था। इमाम हुसैन ने वहां भी रोका, ए मौला, अब तो करबला आ गई है, हम करबला के लिए मांगे गए थे, अब तो इजाजत दे दीजिए। एक इजाजत मांग रहे हैं लेकिन मौला हुसैन रोकते जा रहे हैं। इतने में खैमे से अलाताश अलाताश, हाय प्यास का गिरिया सुनाई दिया। मौला हुसैन ने कहा, ए भैया अब्बास, ये आवाजें सुन रहे हो, ये नाला सुन रहे हो, जरा बच्चों की नुसरत के लिए जाओ, जाओ देखो सकीना का मस्कीजा, शायद जाओ दुश्मनों से पानी लेकर आओ, शायद बच्चों को देखकर कुछ पानी दे दे। आजीजो, ये शेर हैदर कर्रार मक्तल के जानिब अब चल पड़ा है। जैसे ही इसने आगे बढ़ा, फौजे भागना शुरू हुई। वो जवान, ये अली, ये अब्बास तराई पर पहुंचा, पहुंचने के बाद मस्कीजे को भरा। अब ये चाहता है कि इस पानी को खैमे तक पहुंचा दे। अजीजों, 5,000 का लश्कर और ये अली अब्बास तन्हा, इसके ऊपर जैसे ही हमला हुआ, जख्म वे जख्म लगते रहे। एक मर्तबा एक शकी ने चुप कर ऐसा वार किया कि दाहिना बाजू कलम हो गया। मौला ने फरमाया, इन कतअतल यमीनी इन्नी हुआमी अबदन अंदीनी, अगर तुमने मेरा दाहिना हाथ भी कलम कर दिया है, तब भी मैं अपने दीन की हिमायत से दस्तबरदार नहीं होऊंगा। इमाम जनाब अब्बास आगे बढ़े, इतने में एक दूसरे शकी ने बाएं बाजू पर हमला किया, जनाब अब्बास का बाया बाजू कलम हो गया। अब इमाम जनाब अब्बास तेजी से खैमे की तरफ बढ़ना चाह रहे हैं, एक तीर ऐसा चला, आगे मस्कीजे में लगा, अब्बास की आस टूट गई। इतने में एक दूसरा तीर ऐसा चला, आगे अब्बास की आंखों में लगा। अब अब्बास ये चाहते हैं कि इस तीर को बाहर निकाले। अजीजों, अगर किसी के पास हाथ होता है तो अपने हाथों से मदद लेता है, लेकिन हायरे मजलूमियत है अबुल फजल अब्बास, दोनों हाथ कलम हो चुके हैं। अपने जानुओं की मदद से एक मर्तबा तीर निकालने की कोशिश की, तभी एक शकी ने ऐसा गुर्ज मारा कि अब्बास अब घोड़े से जमीन पर तशरीफ लाना चाहते हैं। अजीजों, अगर कोई ऊंचाई से जमीन पर आता है तो अपने हाथों का सहारा लेता है।
لیکن ہائے رے مظلومیت ابا, زمین پر کس طریقے سے آئے ہوں گے میں نہیں جانتا. آواز دی یا قادر اگنی, اے بھائیہ میری مدد کو آئیے. امام حسین مقتل کی طرف آئے, اپنے بھائیہ کے سرانے پہنچے, اپنے بھائی کا سر اپنے زانو میں رکھا, اجرکم علی اللہ زانو پر رکھا. رکھنے کے بعد اب آنکھوں سے خون کو صاف کر رہے ہیں, وصیتوں کا سلسلہ شروع ہوا. جناب عباس نے کہا, اے بھائیہ حسین مجھے خیمے کی طرف مت لے کر جانا. پوچھا, اے بھائیہ کیوں ایسا کہہ رہے ہو؟ کہا عباس نے, اے بھائیہ جب میں نے وعدہ کیا تھا سکینہ کو, میں نے اپنا وعدہ پورا کیا ہے اور آج میں وعدہ پورا نہیں کر سکا. میں نہیں چاہتا کہ آخری سانسوں میں سکینہ کے وعدے کو پورا نہ کر سکوں. مولا نے مشکیزے کو اٹھایا, مولا نے علم کو اٹھایا, اب خیمے کی جانب چل پڑے ہیں. جیسے ہی بچوں نے خیمے کی طرف علم کے علمدار کو دیکھا, جیسے ہی علم کو دیکھا بچوں میں خوشی کی لہر دوڑ پڑی. دیکھو میرا چچا آ رہا ہے, اپنے وعدے کو وفا کر چکا, اب پانی بھی لے گا, اب ہم سب سیراب ہوں گے. علم جیسے جیسے نزدیک آیا, دیکھا مولا حسین تنہا رہے ہیں. اے بابا میرا چچا عباس کہاں ہے؟ امام حسین نے فرمایا, تمہارا چچا عباس اپنے وعدے کو وفا کرتے کرتے ترائی پر سو گیا.
وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. بار الہ ہماری اس مختصر سے عزا کو قبول فرما. بار الہ ہم میں جو مریض ہیں ان کو شفاء کامل و عاجل عنایت فرما. بار الہ ہم میں جو مقروض ہیں ان کے قرض کی غیب سے ادائیگی فرما. بار الہ ہم میں سے جو حج و زیارات کے مشتاق ہیں ان کو حج و زیارات سے مشرف فرما. ہمارے امام زمانہ کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما, اور ہم سب کو ان کے عوان و انصار میں شمار فرما. ربنا تقبل.